Chapter 7. Indeed, sir, apostrophe retorts the barber, and as vigorous as Julius Caesar, my grandfather was. Apostrophe the old gentleman muses a little time, and then says, what did he die of, Crofts? Apostrophe he died accidentally, sir, apostrophe returns the barber, he didn't mean to do it. He always would go a running about the streets walking never satisfied his spirit, and he run against a post, and died of a hurt in his chest. Apostrophe the old gentleman says no more until the shaving is concluded, and then he gives Crofts half a crown to drink his health. He is a little doubtful of the barber's veracity afterwards, and telling the anecdote to the old lady, affects to make very light of it, though to be sure, he adds, there was old Parr, and in some parts of England, 95 or so is a common age, quite a common age. This morning the old couple are cheerful but serious, recalling old times as well as they can remember them, and dwelling upon many passages in their past lives which the day brings to mind. The old lady reads aloud, in a tremulous voice, out of a great Bible, and the old gentleman with his hand to his ear, listens with profound respect. When the book is closed, they sit silent for a short space, and afterwards resume their conversation, with a reference perhaps to their dead children, as a subject not unsuited to, that they have just left. By degrees they are led to consider which of those who survive, are the most like those dearly remembered objects, and so they fall into a less solemn strain, and become cheerful again. How many people in all, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and one or two intimate friends of the family, dine together today at the eldest son's, to congratulate the old couple, and wish them many happy returns, is a calculation beyond our powers. But this we know, that the old couple no sooner present themselves, very sprucely and carefully attired, then there is a violent shouting and rushing forward of the younger branches with all manner of presents, such as pocketbooks, pencil cases, pen wipers, watch papers, pin cushions, sleeve buckles, work slippers, watch guards, and even a nutmeg grater. The latter article being presented by a very chubby and very little boy, who exhibits it in great triumph as an extraordinary variety. The old couple's emotion at these tokens of remembrance occasions quite a pathetic scene, of which the chief ingredients are a vast quantity of kissing and hugging, and repeated wipings of small eyes and noses with small square pocket handkerchiefs, which don't come at all easily out of small pockets. Even the peevish bachelor is moved, and he says, as he presents the old gentleman with a queer sort of antique ring from his own finger, that he'll be dead, if he doesn't think he looks younger than he did 10 years ago. But the great time is after dinner, when the dessert and wine are on the table, which is pushed back, to make plenty of room, and they are all gathered in a large circle round the fire, for it is then the glasses being filled, and everybody ready to drink the toast, that two great-grandchildren rush out at a given signal, and presently return, dragging in old Jane Addams leaning upon her crutched stick, and trembling with age and pleasure. Who so popular as poor old Jane, nurse and storyteller in ordinary to two generations? And who so happy as she, striving to bend her stiff limbs into a curtsy, while tears of pleasure steal down her withered cheeks. The old couple sit side by side, and the old time seems like yesterday indeed. Looking back upon the path they have traveled, its dust and ashes disappear. The flowers that withered long ago, show brightly again upon its borders, and they grow young once more in the youth of those about them. Conclusion. We have taken for the subjects of the foregoing moral essays, 12 samples of married couples, carefully selected from a large stock on hand, open to the inspection of all comers. These samples are intended for the benefit of the rising generation of both sexes, and, for their more easy and pleasant information, have been separately ticketed and labeled in the manner they have seen. We have purposely excluded from consideration the couple in which the lady reigns paramount and supreme, holding such cases to be of a very unnatural kind, and like hideous births and other monstrous deformities, only to be discreetly and sparingly exhibited. And here our self-imposed task would have ended, but that to those young ladies and gentlemen who are yet revolving singly round the church, awaiting the advent of that time, when the mysterious laws of attraction shall draw them towards it in couples, we are desirous of addressing a few last words. Before marriage and afterwards, let them learn to center all their hopes of real and lasting happiness in their own fireside. Let them cherish the faith that in home, and all the English virtues which the love of home engenders, lies the only true source of domestic felicity. Let them believe that round the household gods, contentment and tranquility cluster in their gentlest and most graceful forms, and that many weary hunters of happiness through the noisy world have learnt this truth too late, and found a cheerful spirit and a quiet mind only at home at last. How much may depend on the education of daughters and the conduct of mothers, how much of the brightest part of our old national character may be perpetuated by their wisdom, or frittered away by their folly, how much of it may have been lost already, and how much more in danger of vanishing every day are questions too weighty for discussion here, but well deserving a little serious consideration from all young couples nevertheless. To that one young couple on whose bright destiny the thoughts of nations are fixed, may the youth of England look, and not in vain, for an example. From that one young couple, blessed and favored as they are, may they learn that even the glare and glitter of a court, the splendor of a palace, and the pomp and glory of a throne, yield in their power of conferring happiness to domestic worth and virtue. From that one young couple may they learn that the crown of a great empire, costly and jeweled though it be, gives place in the estimation of a queen to the plain gold ring that links her woman's nature to that of tens of thousands of her humble subjects, and guards in her woman's heart one secret store of tenderness, whose proudest boast shall be that it knows no royalty save nature's own, and no pride of birth, but being the child of heaven. So shall the highest young couple in the land for once hear the truth, when men throw up their caps, and cry with loving shouts, God bless them. *** End of the Project Gutenberg ebook, Sketches of Young Couples *** This file should be named YNGCP10.txt or YNGCP10. Zip corrected editions of our ebooks, get a new number, YNGCP11. TXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, YNGCP10ATXT. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the US, unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our ebooks 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg ebooks is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people started our websites at http://gutenberg.net/promo/net/page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.biblio.org/Gutenberg.etext04 or EText04 or EText030201009999897969594939291 or 90. Just search by the first five letters of the file name you want, as it appears in our newsletters. Information about Project Gutenberg, one page. We produce about $2 million for each hour we work. The time it takes us, a rather conservative estimate, is 50 hours to get an ebook selected, entered, proofread, edited, copyright searched and analyzed, the copyright letters written, etc. Our projected audience is 100 million readers. If the value per text is nominally estimated at $1, then we produce $2 million per hour in 2002 as we release over 100 new text files per month. 1240 more ebooks in 2001 for a total of 4,000 plus. We are already on our way to trying for 2,000 more ebooks in 2002. If they reach just 1-2% of the world's population, then the total will reach over half a trillion ebooks given away by year's end. The goal of Project Gutenberg is to give away 1 trillion ebooks. This is 10,000 titles each to 100 million readers, which is only about 4% of the present number of computer users. Here is the briefest record of our progress. Asterisk means estimated. Colon, ebooks year month, 1971 July 10, 1991 January 100, 1994 January 1000, 1997 August 1500, 1998 October 2000, 1999 December 2500, 2000 December 3000, 2001 November 4000, 2001 October November 6000, 2002 DECEM BER asterisk 9000 2003 NOVEM BER asterisk 10000 2004 JANUARY asterisk. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been created to secure a future for Project Gutenberg into the next millennium. We need your donations more than ever. As of February 2002, contributions are being solicited from people and organizations in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. We have filed in all 50 states now, but these are the only ones that have responded. As the requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. Please feel free to ask to check the status of your state. In answer to various questions we have received on this, we are constantly working on finishing the paperwork to legally request donations in all 50 states. If your state is not listed, and you would like to know if we have added it since the list you have, just ask. While we cannot solicit donations from people in states where we are not yet registered, we know of no prohibition against accepting donations from donors in these states who approach us with an offer to donate. International donations are accepted, but we don't know anything about how to make them tax deductible, or even if they can be made deductible, and don't have the staff to handle it, even if there are ways. Donations by check or money order may be sent to Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, 809 North 1500 West Salt Lake City, Utah 84116. Contact us if you want to arrange for a wire transfer or payment method other than by check or money order. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been approved by the U.S. Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 organization with an employee identification number 64622154. Donations are tax deductible to the maximum extent permitted by law. As fundraising requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. We need your donations more than ever. You can get up-to-date donation information online at http://www.gutenberg.net donation. HTML***. If you can't reach Project Gutenberg, you can always email directly to Michael SHART at pobox.com prof. Hart will answer or forward your message. We would prefer to send you information by email. ***3 pages ***************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************** RT asterisk asterisk asterisk. Why is this small print statement here? You know, lawyers, they tell us you might sue us if there is something wrong with your copy of this ebook, even if you got it for free from someone other than us, and even if what's wrong is not our fault. So, among other things, this small print statement disclaims most of our liability to you. It also tells you how. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.